Welcome to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Show, live from Ferd Sports Bar and Grill, providing a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps to the pros in Champa Bay. Now, here's your host, Mike Rickard.
Good afternoon.
Is it very classy competitor?
Good afternoon and welcome to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network, powered by RadioSt.Pete.com on the Tan Talk family of stations and streaming live on both platforms and RadioSt.Pete.com. And we also archive on MyHoovy.tv. I'm Mike Rickard of the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, providing a fresh and a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps to the pros, each and every Saturday down here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, ranked number one in Best in the Bay Bars and Wings in 2021. And for 29 years, as I said, Mark's been down here providing the best service, about 375 yards away from Tropicana Field. And we got a jam-packed show. Michael Lortz just in the house. We'll talk a little Rays baseball. The author of Curveball at the Crossroads, Barry Smith, former FSU standout from Miami, played for the Packers and the Bucks, and T.J. Smith will join us. He's a Jesuit grad, Georgia Tech, and the Osceola Warriors are in the house. We're going to talk a little wrestling today, and it's always great to have on our prep connection one of the local high schools in the house. We're also going to we'll talk a little White Sox and Cubs. Mark Ferguson, my buddy's up there in Chicago, 38 degrees. He's going to be freezing his rear end off. I'm going to throw Big O into the conversation to start the second show. You stayed up and watched a little NBA last night?
I did, yeah. I watched, it was the last day of the play-in. The winners of the 9 and 10 played the losers of 7 and 8 to secure the 8th spot to play the number one seed in the playoffs last night.
Don't confuse the old man. The bottom line is that's a play-in, like that March Madness.
Yep.
And the bottom line is just for television revenue. And
I'm not sure how much revenue that got.
And a broadening the audience. Am I correct?
Yep, 100%. A lot of people got mad at the bubble last year when the Suns went on a great run, and they were like, I want to see this team in the playoffs. And we didn't really have anything built for that. So Adam Silver and all of his genius brought out the play-in tournament, which gives the 9 and 10 team a chance at the 8th spot in the playoffs.
Gotcha. Well, we started it last weekend. A week ago yesterday, we had opening day here, and the Rays swept the Orioles, and now they have lost 4 out of 5. They won 1 against the A's, lost the other 3, and then last night in Chicago, they went down 3-2. And but you know what? Same start, and we'll talk to Michael Lortz about it. Same kind of start last year, and they still won 100 games. It's not how you start, it's how you finish, and certainly at the 162 games, that's the case. Here's the ball games today to come down to Ferg Sports Bar and Grill right here at 13th and Central. You got Yankees-Orioles. There's another W for the Yankees. Mets-Diamondbacks, Sox-Rays, that's a 2:30 first pitch. Blue Jays-Athletics, Braves-Padres, Red Sox-Twins, the Rays and Red Sox next weekend, Royals, Tigers, Marlins, Phillies, Giants, Guardians. I still can't say Guardians. I've said Indians about 5 times. Guardians.
Guardians.
Not Indians.
No.
Angels.
Formerly.
Rangers. Yeah. Brewers, Cardinals, Astros, Mariners, and Dodgers, and Reds. Hey, here's a topic you probably don't know anything about and don't need to. The USFL starts today.
Don't know a thing.
Don't care. Nobody cares. However, this model, and I don't want to waste too much time on it, this model is kind of like arena football originally, and they blew that. I was heavily involved in that. This could become a farm system for the NFL.
Michigan has a team, don't they? The Panthers?
Well, they did back in the day.
Okay.
You weren't even born.
No, I
actually went to the Michigan Panthers and the Denver Gold Super Bowl, or whatever they called it, at Mile High Stadium in Denver. And that place held at 75,000. That must have been a robust 30,000 for their big event. Anyway, so that starts today. But what they're doing, they're actually using it. They're using the USFL as a training ground for officials. So that's getting their foot in the door. And they've got Fox Sports behind them. XFL starts I don't know why you got the two competing together. They need to merge XFL and USFL and create a legitimate, you know, AAA football
league. Yeah,
yeah. That's the bottom line. All right. Well, I want to introduce you real quickly. This is Michael Lortz. This is Oscar Garner III, the Big O, and he's my new right-hand man. You know why? Because if nobody shows up, I just call and get him out of bed. He lives right next door.
Right down the street.
Plus, he's 1,000 times more talented than the old man. But he's going to be involved in. He's going to be actually the head of videography for Hoovy.tv. Now we'll throw you into the conversation, Michael Lortz. What else we got down here today? Like I said, come down to Ferg's. There's 84 televisions. He'll eat that over there because I'm going to put all the wrestlers here. The wrestlers aren't trying to make weight right now, though, Coach, right? I'm sure they're okay. But I don't want to tempt them with French fries, man.
No.
Can you hear that? And he probably doesn't even need them. My mouth's big enough. You don't need the headphones.
Yeah, it's super loud. Yeah,
we're good. You don't need the headphones.
Okay.
This big mouth of mine will carry you through.
But the mic works, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're good,
buddy. Yeah, I just want to make sure. You know, every time I come here, it gets bigger and bigger, high scale, more and more, you know.
Well, look at
bigger budget every time.
Since the last time you're here, look at this equipment.
Yeah, I know. It looks like a Marvel movie now.
You know what it looks like? A headache. Because I'm an old man that doesn't know what he's doing. You thought I fumbled, stumbled, and bumbled when I launched this, baby. Now I got about 45 things to remember, and I can't remember what I had for breakfast this morning.
Oh, when you launched this, you had two cans and a string.
Well, don't tell everybody. We've advanced that far.
Now it looks like a billion-dollar Marvel movie in here, you know?
Well, everything's relative, and it certainly does. And I appreciate you driving over from Tampa.
Oh, that was a long drive, I'll tell you. Traffic isn't getting easier. You know that all around this area.
And it's not going to get any better, buddy.
Nope.
All right. So I digress. Kind of like our Rays have digressed in the last hell. When did they win last time? Tuesday. Tuesday's the last win.
They took one out of the series against Oakland.
Yeah, they had four against Oakland. You would have been surprised. There were quite a few Oakland A's fans down here.
Yeah. You know, Oakland and Tampa Bay have always had an interesting connection. Like culturally,
yeah, because,
and
you know why? Because they both have low payrolls. They're both threatened constantly.
Yep.
About where their stadium's going to be.
Yep.
And so they play with a chip on their shoulder. And I love this. You know, I love the movie Moneyball. And as far as I'm concerned, they need to eventually do a movie on analytics and how it took them to a World Series.
Sure.
A couple of American against the Titans of payroll.
Mm-hmm. The big problem
and a horrible fan support.
The big problem with Moneyball, and Moneyball's a great movie. Brad Pitt's a great actor, and the whole movie was good. It completely omits the fact that their starting rotation had three Cy Young candidates on it. Zito, Mulder, and Hudson are not mentioned at all in that movie. They were all 20 game winners.
And arms win championships.
Arms win championships. And it completely omits their starting rotation in the entire movie. Great movie, horrible history.
Sorry
to pop your bubble.
You're not popping my bubble. I said it was a good movie, dude. I didn't break it down like I was in the New York Post. Man.
I mean, just so when I watch it, I'm like, okay, cool, cool, cool. But then I'm watching, I have to take my baseball knowledge
step
out.
Step back.
Yeah.
That would have confused the usual listeners. So,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, so. You know, so watch it for the Brad Pitt. Who else is in there? Jonah.
It's hilarious.
Jonah Hill.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't take that cat serious in any role, but he played
a good intern.
Oh, yeah.
For whatever reason.
Yeah. He played a superb intern.
So it's got some good actors. It's a good movie.
Well, it's kind of like I was heavily involved with Kurt Warner back in the Arena Football days.
Yep.
And they just had his movie come out. And that thing was, it's a great theme about what he overcame. And I had the founder of Arena Football on the air, a good friend of mine, Jim Foster. And the reality is, the reality of that movie was there was a lot of things that they embellished. They used to play in a place called the Barn, mm-hmm. Veterans Auditorium. And in the movie, they show cattle. The guys are practicing, and there's cattle behind them. There was never cattle, even though they called it the barn.
There was no cattle.
And they didn't have the state fair there. So that was kind of a slight to Iowans. And then they showed them practicing with lights, like in the good old days, with huge bales of hay around. That was another thing. Was just absolutely.
They took
BS.
It a little too literally.
All right, so
let's Hollywood, you know.
Let's talk about this 2022 race team.
Sure.
And where you think they're going? We know the obstacles as far as injuries and the pitching staff, but your expert analysis.
So I mean, they were a 100 win team last year. I mean, they put pretty much the same team out there, minus Nelson Cruz, and you know, they didn't lose too much, so they're still a 90 win team. You know, when that 92-100, a lot of that's luck. You know, you can build a 90-win team. Trying to build a 100-win team, there's a lot of luck that's got to fall your way. You know, whether it be injuries, whether it be, you know, a bunch of people getting hot over the year. I'm extremely excited to see Wander Franco all year. He's a stud.
That kid's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see that triple the other day?
Yep.
Oh, my word.
And then he had a couple of defensive gems that you're just like, how did he do that? There's talk that they were going to move him to third or second to keep Taylor Walls at short because he's a better fielder, but Wander might just be as good a fielder.
How old is he, 21 now? Is he still 20?
I don't even think we can take him out to drink. I don't think we can buy him a beer.
No, he's still 20.
I mean, he's buying.
$200 million man at 20 years of age.
Yeah, he's buying all the beers.
And his talent is just beyond.
Well, oh, it's insane. He's up there. He's up there in the elite top 5 to 10 young ball players in the game right now. So you got to pay him. You know, I'm glad the Rays locked him up long term. For he's going to be in the Rays uniform, barring a trade, of course, till he's 32, 33 years old. So, you know, you got to lock in superstar generational talent like that when you see it.
Well, I got to ask you that question. This is a debate that took place on now listen, these guys are pros over at WDAE, and I enjoy listening to them. The key to building the franchise, fan support. I know we talk about the payroll, keeping it around $80 million. And this is at a national level, actually. Do you think there's more of a draw if you've got two or three superstars on a team versus a team that's winning with no names as the Rays did last year? Do you think we'd get more butts in the seats if we had a couple more marquee branded names?
Oh, that's a really good question. And the thing is, the players have to want to be marketed as well. You look at a guy like Longoria, when he was young, he was in all sorts of commercials. When he started to get younger, or started to get older, family, you know, and everything like that, when they get into their late 20s and early 30s, and they start to get married and things like that, and kids, they don't want to be as marketable.
I don't care what you say, Michael, and
I don't disagree that two or three stars, but if you have two or three stars and you're winning 75 games a year, nobody's going to go.
They're not going to come out to see Wander Franco if they win 75 games.
No.
I think people are going to come out because the conversation is national and they want to come see the cat.
Right.
Now, but if you can have that nice combination.
Now, if you have a star pitcher and a star hitter and they both are on ESPN Sunday Night
Baseball. That's my point.
Or MLB Network. Yeah, sure. So if you have one star pitcher and one star hitter, problem is star pitchers are extremely expensive, and you really can't.
Well, you're never going to have that with Stu as the owner because he's a businessman.
He's
bottom line businessman.
Well, they're all businessmen, but
there's no doubt about
it. To the extreme.
Different model though out there in LA, isn't there?
Oh yeah.
Can you believe what they did in the offseason? And if the Dodgers do not win, I'll laugh, all day long.
Just like we'd laugh with. Laughed when the Yankees couldn't win, when they couldn't beat the Marlins.
Hey, I was a Yankees fan. Did you hear the was?
No, was.
No, but anyway.
If we leave that at the Florida-Georgia border, we're good.
Exactly. So what do you think the future bodes for the 2022 season?
I think they'll win over 90.
Okay.
I don't think they're like an injury or two. Like some teams, if a player gets hurt, like if the Blue Jays, if Vlad Guerrero got hurt, they're not a playoff team anymore. But I think the Rays, even if they suffer from some minor injuries, some tweaks, some hamstring pulls along the way, they're still a 90-plus win team. So, but the AL East is stacked. I mean, there's four teams there that could easily make the playoffs.
I was just going to say, look at Toronto this year. Unbelievable, the depth in the East this year.
Oh, yeah.
Relative to
so
the West and the Central.
So really what we're banking on is the Yankees not and Red Sox not making a move in July. You know, because the Yankees have been hesitant.
Well, you can take it to the bank that they will.
The Yankees have been hesitant over the last few years. Like, their new ownership, it ain't George Steinbrenner running that team anymore. It's his kids, and his kids are just happy just making money.
Yeah, I don't think Hal has the passion that George had.
No, I did not.
I don't know if you got an opportunity. I wish you would have been involved. My good friend that I grew up with in Northwest Iowa, I think I told you he was the strength and conditioning coach for the Yankees during the glory years, late 90s and 2000s.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Jeff Mangle. He's been on several times. And he shared some stories about George, and these stories that he just got done writing a book as well. And I tell you what, that guy was intense.
Yeah.
I mean, yep. People disliked him. I would say that he's a philanthropist or he's an egomaniac, either way you want to go, because his name slapped all over the greater Tampa Bay area.
Yes.
And from a philanthropy piece.
You know, I almost look at it as it's just, if you could probably put it all under the umbrella of legacy building.
I would say that.
If whether you want to win or you want to give money to the Boys and Girls Club, you're putting your name out there. You're legacy building one way or the other. And, you know, so I think a lot of these billionaires, they get to that certain level and they just want to build their legacy. Look at what Jeff Vinnick's doing, charity work. His name is all over downtown Tampa.
One of the best owners in all sports in America, without a shadow of a doubt.
100%. And he makes Stu Sternberg look just horrible.
Oh, yeah.
On a daily basis. It's
yeah, and I got to
so
be
bad.
Careful now that I'm that tied to Tampa Bay. But I can't warm up to Stu Sternberg.
No.
I just can't.
He
doesn't warm up to any of us, so why should we warm up to him?
And that's the problem when you're looking at the Rays front office and you look at all the great moves and everything that they do and you root for the front office, you root for the players on the team, but then the owner is so aloof. And
he's smug.
And, yeah, it's such a disconnect between rooting for the front office who's, you know, making chicken salad out of chicken whatever, And then the players who are, you know, hustling out there. Then you've got an owner that just his popularity rating is down in the dumps.
Lower than Joe Biden's.
Right. You know.
And that's 33% right now. And I don't talk politics, but 33%. Anyway.
Oh, but he's probably at least half of that. He's 16.5, if not lower. And, you know, and it's one of the obstacles that the Rays have to get over, regardless of where they get a new stadium, whatever, is if the fans don't like the owner. Like, if there's a passion against the owner.
And there is.
That's a problem.
It's like a personal vendetta,
right.
Opinion. But he's going to win regardless because of the television contracts.
Sure.
But let's take a look at this while we're talking schedules and attendance. And it's, you know, it's near and dear to our heart here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, where we're broadcasting live, actually, on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. Michael Lortz across from me, the Big O. Oscar Garner III. I like to throw that out. Oscar Garner III. It doesn't remind you of Thurston Hall III. Remember that?
Yep.
Yeah, he was too young to even know who it was. Anyway,
it's a very proper name. Very very regal.
I appreciate it.
Well, he is regal. He went to Michigan State, and then he was a caddy at Oakland Hills with all the. Hey, I saw a commercial with Jimmy Butler the other day. And I thought about you and your Mark Wahlberg story.
Oh, yeah, we're heating up for finals action. Jimmy's going to make a run for the playoffs, baby.
Okay. You heard it here. This is our NBA insider. Okay, so let's take a look at this. Next weekend, be crazy. We got Boston in town for three. Then you got Seattle.
Seattle's a revamped team. That's a good team.
I'm talking attendance.
Oh, yeah, no.
It'll be just like it was with the A's.
Yep.
You got Minnesota in town.
Dumps.
Okay. Mid-May. Toronto comes in town for three.
That should be a good.
It's soft this year, and I'm telling you, as far as opponents coming to the Trop. You got Toronto, then you've got Detroit.
Who's our National League teams? Are we playing the East, the Central, or the West?
This is sad. We got Miami.
Okay, Miami never draws for real.
Yeah,
well.
We got Miami in May. Yankees four game to close out May. June we open up with the White Sox for three. Then Cards come to town 7th, 8th, and 9th, and that'll
so
be jammed.
Central, yeah.
Yeah. Then we got the Yankees. Then Pirates. That'll be sad. Milwaukee comes to town. I'm just talking attendance.
You know the thing about Milwaukee though is Adames
talking
on the team there, so you get a chance to see Willie Adames again.
Yeah,
you know, so Milwaukee's a good team.
They're going to be a number one. They'll be in first place in the Central.
And I'm looking at, you know, the storylines that they could use to sell those games, and you know, Tampa Bay, Milwaukee, the return of Willie Adames after, you know, like
it won't matter.
I mean, it might draw 100 more fans.
Yeah, I was gonna say. Okay, so I'll fast forward. So then we got Cleveland coming in town at the end of July. That's not gonna be a draw. You got the Royals coming in town in August. You got Angels coming in town at the end of August. Attendance-wise, it's going to look bleak. If it wasn't for the Yankees and Boston coming into town, and then it...
But define bleak. That's my big thing.
8,000. 8,000 the average.
But there's a problem with that. It's because they used to draw... If I have to drive with earplugs in, I'm doing something wrong. But the
or
problem
right,
is
depending on who you are.
Yeah. The big problem with attendance is about 5 years ago, they used to draw 15,000 to a Tuesday night game. It didn't matter who it was. It would be a game against the Twins on a July. It would be a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday game, and they would still draw 12,000 to 15,000. That number has dropped to 7 to 10.
What's the drop-off? What explains the drop-off? As somebody who's new to town, so I'm from Detroit.
Right.
The Tigers have been sputtering since 2012, basically. I know why we've dropped off with our city. We're coming back revamping. From your perspective, what was the drop-off, and then what needs to, sorry to put you on the spot, no, Mr. Owner, but
this is what
needs
I do.
To happen, right?
It's a good question that I have not figured out. And some people have said it's the way the Rays are counting numbers. It used to be tickets sold. So if you could buy a ticket and not go to the game, you still counted towards attendance.
When I worked for the Cubs, we called it butts in the seat.
So you only get turnstile.
We wanted butts in the seat. Turnstile doesn't do me any good. I mean, we're selling tickets.
Right.
But I want butts in the seat because I've got advertisers out there. I've got concessions to generate revenue. I want butts in the seat.
Right.
Tickets aren't buying anything.
But where were you counting attendance? Were you counting attendance as in a ticket bought? Or were you counting a ticket as in the person scanned in? Or
turnstiles.
Turnstile,
okay.
So if you're counting turnstiles, it's going to be less. Because if I buy a ticket, I just can't go for whatever reason. Right. I get a flat tire or whatever. It's always going to be less than tickets sold. The Rays were counting tickets. Major League Baseball was counting tickets sold. The Marlins, a couple of years ago, when Derek Jeter's group bought the team, decided that they were going to count turnstiles, not tickets sold, all of a sudden their attendance was in the dumps.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden now, rumor has it, the Rays haven't said whether yes or no, but all of a sudden now the Rays are counting turnstiles, not tickets sold. So now they're going from 11,000 to 12,000 to 7,000 to 8,000 because about a quarter of the people just are not going.
Are these season ticket holders who are just not interested?
That's like, a problem.
Well, what's going on?
I don't know.
Well, I can tell you, I'm here every game, every home game, and the people come through and I set them and have conversation, and it's amazing the number of season ticket holders. They don't even try to get rid of their tickets. Tickets are available. If you got friends that have tickets, give them a shout because they're not going to every game.
No,
this guy is at Ferg's. He's here with the sign, and he's trying to get what he's.
Well,
trying to
he's
get
trying. He's
street.
Making money. Yeah, he's called. Yeah, that's called a scalper.
Scalpers on the Rays games. It's not a profitable business.
Not unless it's the Red Sox and or the Cubbies, the Yankees.
Even the Red Sox have not packed in that house anymore. The Red Sox will pack the house.
They will after last year.
After they win World Series, they will pack the house. But other than that, Red Sox attendance has dwindled to almost maybe 10% more than average. And used to be, I remember 2007.
Didn't they win in 2019? Like, the Red Sox won recently, and we still can't get that. That's crazy.
Yep.
I don't care. But it's good to see them come here and people spend money.
But it,
I can't stand the Red Sox.
No, neither can I, but they spend money. And we'd love to have it 100% packed, to the roof with Rays fans and, out cheering every other team. But it's just... It's strange how the Rays are not helping this.
You were down here opening day. I've been down here 6 opening days now since I moved down here. And I'll tell you what, that environment is superb.
Right.
If you could have half of that on every home game. Now, I will tell you, on Thursday, it was an afternoon game. 1:10 first pitch. And it was fabulous. People are here having lunch. And it was a lot busier than Mark had anticipated. And he and I and his son Jake, we were running around like crazy, but it was fun. It reminded you of Wrigley. I like afternoon games that are in the middle. They're in the heart of the city, in Boston, in New York, in Philly. When we're in the heart of a city, you get that feel, and that's what it was like on Thursday. And I'd like to see a lot more afternoon games.
Well, we're not in the heart of a city.
Well. The best we can do.
Yeah, I mean, stadium-wise...
It's starting to get there.
It's starting to get there. That construction's moving.
As the construction and the cranes.
Yeah, I will say.
There used to be a police department right across the street.
You think?
An apartment building.
Yeah, we're well aware of it. Every Saturday is they're destroying it. I have to tell people that Ferg's is not falling down. That's the cop shop going down.
Yeah, they
all right.
moved in it.
Well, before I wind you down.
Because I'm all wound up. Is that what you're saying?
yeah, exactly. No, let's do a little plug for Curveball at the Crossroads,
sure.
your great book that you wrote last year.
Sure. So Curveball at the Crossroads is doing really great. It's a story about a young baseball player hurts his arm in his final game of high school, makes a deal with the devil to get back into the majors. And at the height of his prowess, the devil comes back and basically says, hey, man, you owe me. So now he's in a battle for his soul. It's doing really well. It's great timing you're talking to me now because I'm headed to Mississippi this weekend or next weekend for a blues and juke joint festival up in Clarksdale, Mississippi. To do a book signing up there, I have a book signing in downtown Tampa at the Oxford Exchange on the 28th, a book signing in Claremont, Florida on May 1st.
Damn.
And a
You're going to start charging me to come on the air.
But a book signing in Cocoa Village in Cocoa, Florida on May 28th. So my next 2 months are packed. So it's awesome. I'm on tour. It's fantastic.
You should have been at a blues festival down here last Saturday.
Oh yeah, I was. So
where were you?
I was down there.
I had to see my man Robert Randolph band.
They did awesome. That whole show was fantastic.
He's older, but I tell you what, Robert Randolph. If you love blues, that cat's got it going.
So I got a poster of my book cover. I'm getting blues acts to sign it. Like this now. 3-foot by 2-foot poster I have is now signed by so many blues legends.
I knew you win.
Oh, I was there. And I was handing out cards. I must have handed out about 30 to 35 business cards with the book's website, book's address. So over the last week, I'm starting to see those numbers tick up. So it was great. It was great marketing.
All right.
Tables were too expensive, but I made friends there.
All right.
I love that.
Well, you make a lot of friends. And
I try.
I appreciate you coming down. Hey, if you're going to hang around, I'll throw you on in a second hour, too.
Yeah, let's talk.
All right, man. Now we got to make room for these guys, or they're going to take you down. I got some wrestlers behind me. Oh. We got to move those fellas up here and talk a little wrestling. You're a pencil neck, you know. That's what they call basketball players.
Yeah.
Pencil necks. Yeah. Isn't that what you call basketball players? Pencil necks, coach? Come on up. We're going to throw you on the air here.
Not when he's on the show, at least.
Okay. All right. And that was Michael Lortz. Great book. It is Curveball at the Crossroads. Just go to Amazon and... Man, I didn't know he was on the road kicking butt like that. And I knew him when. Actually, had him down here right after the book was published. Hey, a reminder, tune in to Sunshine 96.7 FM, speaking of music, and the Bay's local music leader, over 1,100 local artists, and growing at an incredible rate right now. Jay Kolb's the man at the plant as the music director. Partnered with Ferg's down here. You see their signs everywhere. And... tune in to 96.7 FM, and it's all local musicians, great music. Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, if I could speak properly, I'm not impressing these young guys right now. We have become part of the Hoovy Media Group in Orlando. Hoovy is finished for fun. We've got our own channel, Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection video channel, and Hoovy.tv. We archive all of our shows on there. My daily 2-minute sports update that you can hear on... At Tantalk Family of Stations on 96.7 FM each and every Saturday, every day, 7 o'clock, 7 a.m. and 8 a.m. And we've got a lot of things on the drawing board. I'm going to make an announcement right now. Andy DeLay's joining the Hoovy team. He, of course, has Burning Rubber Radio. And you'll see a lot of changes take place. And our network may be expanding as well, our radio network. Right now we're on WTAN AM 1340, 106.1 FM, WZHR AM 1400, 104.3 FM, WDCF AM 1350, and 102.3 FM, reaching from Brooksville to the Sunshine Bridge, Pinellas County, Tampa to Lakeland, north to Zephyr Hills, and of course streaming live on RadioSt.Pete.com. And now he's kind enough to join me with a couple of his bodyguards. We've been trying to get this accomplished for a while, Coach, and I appreciate you coming down today on a kind of a Chamber of Commerce day down here in St. Pete. How you doing, man?
Doing great, man. Thanks for having us.
Well, she's been here for 23 years. She's a bartender inside. Trish, I don't know if you've ever met her. And she was responsible for getting the baseball team down here and the football team. And I said, well, I want the wrestlers. So that's how I got your name, and I appreciate you coming down. And so let's talk about you, before we go to the youngsters here, let's talk about how you got to be the head man, where you're from originally, what high school you went to. And you don't have the wrestler ears. I had the Jesuit guys over here, and I'm from Iowa. I know wrestling.
Oh yeah.
I didn't wrestle. I was in the boxing world, but I know wrestling coming from the state of Iowa. And these guys, they won the state this year.
Yeah, Jesuit's a fantastic team. A bunch of good guys, great coaches. But myself, I actually am local here. I grew up in Seminole area. I am happy to say I'm an Osceola graduate. Went off to the University of Florida. Go Gators. And came home and started coaching right away. I was an assistant coach for a year, and at 23 years old, I became the head coach.
Coach Paul, you were the head coach at 23?
Yeah. Wet behind the ears and didn't know what I was doing, but I made it work, and it's been about 15 years or so, and it's one of the loves of my life. I can't live without it.
You got a real passion for it. I coming down here from the Midwest, I was shocked at how popular wrestling actually is in this state. It needs to get more recognition, and that's why I'm being in Iowa, and I'm doing a big push. You probably know Coach Goo down in Bradenton.
Yeah, absolutely.
That wild man. He's going to be on quite often, and we're going to start, and we'll get you guys involved. We're going to start a podcast, a streaming podcast. I'm building a studio upstairs, and it's going to be wrestling only.
Oh, excellent.
We'll talk about, not just the wins and the losses, but, the whole journey and how difficult it is. People don't appreciate the great sport that it is.
Yeah.
And it's Greek gods in Iowa, and down here it's football and baseball. And when I see the success and the kids leaving the state to continue to wrestle from all over the country, that's a testament too.
Yeah, it's been a long road. We're finally getting the respect we deserve as a state. We really picked up in the last probably 20 years. We were always kind of second tier, and now we're really getting up there. We send guys from this state all around to national tournaments, and we've got guys competing with the Iowas, the Pennsylvanias, the Californias, all these big wrestling states, and we're finding out that Florida wrestling is darn good wrestling, and we can compete with anybody across this country.
Well, let's talk about your team this past year. What kind of season you had? Were you young? Did you have a lot of senior veterans? Talk about this year's Warrior team.
It was definitely an interesting year. Obviously, the big COVID word hanging over everybody. We had an interesting 2021 season, and we weren't quite sure how it was going to rebound because it was kind of a low year across the state. But we've had a tremendous amount of kids came out this year. I had one of the largest teams I've had in quite a few years. And a lot of new guys. I lost a ton of seniors from the prior year. Had about 7 seniors this year, so out of about 45. So not a lot of seniors. I got one guy here that was a first-year guy with us and a ton of first years. But we did really well. We went out. We were actually district champions in our district dual tournament.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Yes, first time Osceola had won a district title in about 15 years.
So wow. Beautiful. You're building
guys.
A program when you do that.
Yes, sir.
I mean, if you're getting numbers out, everybody said, well, we have a high school team. Well, the key in any sport, and you know this, you want to build a program.
Yeah.
And coaching at your alma mater, and I love those stories because you have a true passion. You're like, hey, fellas, I'm a Warrior myself. Now let's go kick some butt. I don't want to see us getting beat, because you've got that pride and emotional equity in the program.
Yep.
And you see that at a lot of schools these days, and I think those are the schools that are rich in tradition. You're building tradition.
Yes.
From when you went, do you think that does have an impact on the way you coach?
Without a doubt. I was fortunate for a number of years. My older brother, who actually also went to Osceola, he and I coached together. And
how cool is that?
It was amazing. It was one of the best years of my life. My older brother, this guy I looked up to, I got into wrestling because of him. And we got to go out. And like you said, just that feeling of I'm a Warrior, I've been a Warrior, I've been where you've been through, and I know how much this means to you, and it means just as much to me to see you succeed, and it's a wonderful, wonderful thing.
That's fabulous. Do you have any children?
Yes, sir. I got two daughters.
Oh, damn.
It's, You know, but
I'm gonna say maybe if you had a son, you stick around long enough, you can have that tradition.
Here's the thing: the FHSAA, the state, they just this first year certified girls wrestling across the state, and it is one of the fastest growing sports in the state. They had a state tournament this year for it, the same venue, the same time as the boys tournament, and girls wrestling is on the move in this state, and it's a fantastic thing.
I applaud that move, because I will tell you what took place in Iowa, and it was sad, you know, and I used to promote the Dan Gable Classic. Dan and I are close, and Cale Sanderson, prior to his going to Penn State, when he had gotten his gold medal, he did a lot of events with me, and we had these conversations. And this would be difficult even for you guys to get your arms around. The girls were actually wrestling against the boys in the state of Iowa. Now, I have boys, and I have a daughter, and I've taught them to respect women. And in most worlds, that's the way it exists. So the mentality of a lot of these guys that were wrestling these girls is, God, I can't take her and slam her on the mat. You know, and that was a tough, tough period. You're trying to be politically correct. You want gender, you know, equity and inclusion, and I'm so glad to see the Florida starting, you know, just for the girls. Most of the states are going that way, but that was a rough go during that period, I can assure you that.
Yeah, it's been a big, it's been a challenge, and as you said, and just as it was in Iowa and in Florida, the girls were wrestling the boys all the time.
Oh, they were here too.
Yeah, they were, and even throughout most of the season, we'll still have co-ed matches throughout the season. It's just at the end, they'll still have girls-only tournaments, and then they'll have a girls-only postseason. So it's a nice little move away from only co-ed.
Gotcha. All right, well, let's talk to these youngsters, and we'll get back to conversations. I want to ask you about participation off-season as well. So who do we have here? Who's this young man?
I'm Tristan Wood.
Come up a little bit, young man, and talk a little louder like you're getting ready to kick somebody's butt.
All right.
And your name is?
Tristan Witt.
Hi, Tristan. What year are you?
I'm 11th grade right now.
Okay,
and this is my first year of wrestling.
First year of wrestling?
Yeah.
What do you think of it?
I thought it was great. I mean, it was it's the first sport that I've done in high school that I've really enjoyed. I did football in freshman year, but it was not really my thing, so I ended up not really doing sports for 2 years, and then coming back to this, it was awesome. I mean, it was something I really enjoyed and I always wanted to come back to, and it was great.
What inspired you that you wanted to start wrestling?
I had one of my friends that was on the wrestling team the year before tell me about it and tell me how cool it was to be a wrestler and how fun it was, and I wanted to get back into a sport too after being off for so long, and I got on, and it's been great since then.
You think it's giving you some self-confidence? I saw that happen with my younger brother. I was always a jock and everything, and he decided to start wrestling, and I saw his self-confidence just because of, you know, the day-to-day grind, the commitment you have to make. I'm sure that's helped you a little bit as well, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, putting in like the work every day makes me feel a lot better about myself, and like even how I look and how I act, like it makes me feel a bit stronger.
Well, you look fine, young man, and you look and you look young. So I don't think I have any concerns about the looks, but it's how you feel on the inside.
Oh, definitely.
And what weight class are you?
I usually before, at the beginning of the season, I was 160, and by after winter break, I was able to get down to 152, 154.
So you cut 8 pounds, and which weight did you prefer?
I preferred the lower, the 152.
Because, did you?
Yeah, I got a bit more. I felt like I was in the right class, and with the same people, kind of like the same like strength and like body type.
Gotcha. Guys, more naturally at that weight class.
Yes, yeah.
You know, and as I said, my background was boxing. You have to lose weight. I was always welterweight. And my brother was, they have 98 pound. My brother back in Iowa was 98 pound class.
The lowest now is 106.
Yeah, but he looked like a poor Auschwitz victim during the season, but he never had to lose weight. Did you have a hard time struggling to lose weight?
No, I managed to keep my weight pretty good. I mean, before matches, I wouldn't eat that much because it was hard to be eating a good bit, and then I'd have to lose all that weight before the match. But I would just like not eat that much during the day, and then, you know, after weigh-ins I would have a snack and I'd go at it. It wasn't too hard for me.
Let me ask you this, your favorite memory, well, you don't have a whole long history,
yeah.
So, but in this past year, what was your favorite memory?
I would say it would be winning, was it my first or second match?
It had to have been really cool.
It was great.
And nobody knew who you were.
No.
It wasn't like they'd been wrestling with you in middle school and watched your progression. They're like, who the heck is this cat?
I got out there and got him. It was a great match too. I was down about, was it like 2 to 8 points, I think. It was like 2 and the guy was up 8. I was down on the ground the whole match and managed to kind of wear each other out, and I caught him at a bad spot. I flipped him over and I got him. So
you got the pin?
Yeah, I got the pin.
I bet you were going nuts. was your family there?
Yeah, I
bet they went absolutely crazy. Well, that's a moment. Take it from a 65-year-old man. You're never gonna forget. You just don't, do you, Coach? I mean, those are memories for a lifetime, and that's one of the beauties of sports is you're making the memories. You want to do a shout out to anybody out there? Your family, friends? We archive this. You guys will be able to listen to yourself.
Okay, cool. Yeah,
and talk like you're excited about leaving a memory. Is that guy related to you over your left shoulder?
Yeah, that clown is my father.
Well, you better give him a shout out, or you're walking home.
I'll think about it.
Yeah, you'll be walking home or asking Coach for a ride, and he'll probably make you, you know, get down and give him 50.
Obviously, shout out to my coach, Coach Smalley, is helped me throughout the year get way better than I was, obviously, at the beginning of the year with no experience at all. And definitely helped me get those wins and conditioned me throughout the year to be a better person and be a better wrestler. So, and shout out to my father over there for...
What's his name?
Kelby.
Thanks for bringing your son down. This is a superb story. I love stories like this.
Yeah. Shout out to him for just encouraging me to do wrestling and keep me on the right path to becoming a better wrestler also, and just helping me push through and push on.
Well, you've got 1 year under your belt. Yep. You got a lot of things that you probably can set for goals. You and Coach will set goals for 2023. And what is your goal ultimately in wrestling? Have you said anything that you really want to accomplish with one more year to go?
To be better than the other man.
I'm pretty certain you will be, young man.
All right.
Was there anybody else that you missed in your shout out? I want to make sure you cover every base. I know a lot of guys walk away from here and then they're like, oh man, I forgot to do a shout out to grandma or mom or my girlfriend. You got a girlfriend?
Not right now. No.
Smart man. Yeah, there you go. You're too young for that, dude.
Yeah, shout out to the rest of my family for also encouraging me to do wrestling and keeping me on my way just like my dad. And definitely to all my other wrestling mates that helped me learn other stuff on the map that sometimes Coach didn't get a good grip on, and then they helped me out, or Coach taught us and then I didn't really understand, but they helped me out and helped me understand fully. So,
well, that's what they're called, teammates, my man.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, great story. I look forward to watching yours. We'll have you on next year when you win districts. How about that?
Oh, that'd be great.
All right, man. Now, who's this young man? I know that he is you're under 147 pounder. That's just a wild guess.
Oh yeah.
Okay, and what's your name, young man? And talk plenty loud there, will
you? My name is Matthew Rennie, and I am a senior, or was a senior, at Osceola. And I was on the wrestling team freshman, sophomore, and then my senior year.
Well, fabulous. So you've accomplished a lot and seen a lot in your 4 years, and you've been fortunate to have a former Warrior as the coach. What weight class are you?
Freshman and sophomore year, I was 106, and then
you and my brother could go at it.
And then senior year, I was 113. Or sophomore year, I was 113.
You bulked up, huh?
Yeah.
You
can call it that.
Yeah. You probably didn't have to worry about losing too much weight, did you?
Actually, I usually had to lose about a pound for each tournament.
That's easy. Yeah. I remember, actually, back in the day, and I said I didn't wrestle, but I'd have to lose weight. I would go to my alma mater, the wrestling room, and ask coach if I could get in the wrestling room so I could lose weight before I'd weigh in.
Yeah.
And it doesn't take much time to lose weight in a wrestling room, I can tell you that right now, right?
Yeah, especially when it's not air conditioned.
It's not air conditioned?
It's not air conditioned.
In Florida. Holy moly. Don't they have laws against that?
Sometimes.
They have laws against that? Oh, what's the temperature get to up there?
Well, he cracks the door open. So.
Well, that's big of you, coach. You got guys dropping like flies. All right, get him out of here. Get him some water. Get back at it, fellas. How far are you from the local hospital?
Not that far.
Good, that's good. No air. Whoo-wee. You guys need to do a fundraiser.
That's only during the breaks. We're okay the rest of the time.
All right, coach. Way to cover yourself. All right, young man. Your favorite, you just divulged something you didn't want the public to know. Okay, so your favorite memory in the 4 years of participating?
In all 4 years, probably winning districts would be my probably favorite.
So you're district champ. I'm sitting across from a district champ.
With the team districts.
Well, that's a win for you as well.
Exactly, yeah.
Because you were part of that team, and you know, you guys on the verge of death in that wrestling room with no air. Yeah, you guys bonded together closely.
Oh yeah, we did.
But that's the beauty of being, you know, as he just alluded to, you know, the teammates that helped him through this process. And you're going to remember these guys the rest of your life as well. That's the beauty of sports, too.
Yeah, one of my teammates, his name was McKelly, and we both joined the wrestling team as freshmen, and we did basically all 3 or 4 years together. And we knew each other all 4 years, and we really bonded. That's probably one of my favorite memories of just having teammates around you that support you 24/7.
Is he listening, McKelvey? You going to do a little shout-out to him?
Yeah, shout-out.
I'm sure he's not. On a Saturday, and he's 17 or 18 years old, he's not sitting around listening to my old carcass, but he might want to listen to you guys because we archive it, and he can have some fun with that. Yeah. What weight class was he?
He was a big boy. He was like 195 freshman year.
Holy hell.
Yeah,
it's good to have big friends.
Yeah.
But it's also good to have guys like you that nobody expects to take them down when they start creating a few issues once in a while.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so was anyone in your family in wrestling? What inspired you to want to wrestle?
Well, originally I was going to do baseball. I never played baseball before in my life, but I tried out, and I showed up with khaki shorts and a collared shirt to tryouts. And
yeah, not cool.
Yeah,
that's not the golf team. Not the golf team, dude.
Yeah, I saw everyone else wearing golf. I was like, no, I'm not doing this. And so then I got to thinking, and my dad had been a wrestler for Seminole High School.
There you go.
And I thought about wrestling, and then in my algebra class, there was a wrestler. And so I asked him about it, and he's like,
yeah. You asked him what he had to wear? What do you wear, dude? Yeah. I wear khakis and a polo. Hey, you're in the wrong place.
Man, he told me to come out to tryouts or the info thing that Coach Schmelly had going on, and I showed up, and I saw a bunch of my friends actually going out there, and I was like, you know, I'll try this wrestling thing out, see how it works. And I had been in martial arts and MMA before high school, so I had a little bit of knowledge about, you know, the world of wrestling and stuff. But
am I going to be seeing you in UFC sometime soon?
I don't think my mom would let me do that.
You're one bad little man. Holy moly.
Yeah, I like to think so.
Yeah, well, I'm certain you are. Looks and size are deceiving.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy martial arts?
I enjoyed it, but by the time I was a freshman, I was ready to get out of it. I've been doing it since I was in kindergarten.
Since kindergarten?
Since kindergarten.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's bullying you in those hallways up there at Osceola, huh?
Yeah, I was a second degree black belt, and at that point, I had just done everything. I was like, I don't want to do this anymore.
You're my new bodyguard, because nobody'd expect it. You'll be my bodyguard in the future. Push on my wheelchair.
And I watched a few college wrestling videos when I was about to get into it, and I was like, man, this looks pretty cool. I want to do this. And my mom was like a little bit questionable about it because she saw like a few kids getting slammed and stuff, and I'm like, no, I'll be fine. I'll be fine, Mom. And so I did it, and I excelled.
So the key is mom supporting it, obviously.
Yeah, mom
supporting. And your dad and your pops was a wrestler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was a wrestler, and he kind of told me, he kind of warned me about it, that it's like a lot of work, and if you're going to do this, you're going to have to do it right. And so I agreed to that, and I did it.
Well, and you had Coach Molly, you know, who there to inspire you, and I'm sure he made everybody stay the task. What are your aspirations when you graduate?
Did you graduate yet? No, I graduated in May, and I actually graduate from an early college program over at SPC, and I plan on attending USF for college.
Going to be a bowl over there, huh?
Oh, yeah, be a bowl.
Great school. Now, I know that as I get to dive into the high school world here, Osceola is a school that of higher learning, too, right?
Yeah, it's like a fundamental program.
Is that what it is? Fundamentals? We don't have them up in Iowa. I know that that was one of the expectations at Osceola. And at times, you know, that might limit you from an athleticism perspective on all the teams. But, you know, and not that you guys are, but nerds rule the world, as they say, down the road. It's great to have all these experiences. Yeah. But what you do in the classroom, I'm sure everybody's mentioned that to you, is more important. And you're building the foundation. You've learned the principles of hard work in sports. And thanks to Coach, thanks to your parents. And it's going to take you a long ways.
Yeah.
And I have ADD, age deficit disorder. Your favorite overall memory was winning the districts, but yeah, you personally?
Personally was probably one of the orange and blue meets, which was like a big fundraiser at the beginning of the year we did. And all my family was there, my mom, my dad, my grandma, my grandpa. Everyone was there, and a bunch of my friends were there, and I just went out. I think it was freshman year, and I won. And
did you beat like a junior or senior?
No, I beat another freshman. But
I like how these guys take glory. When I had a baseball teammate, and I said, "What's your greatest memories?" And he said, "Oh, I'm in practice taking the points of the pitcher, taking him yard." I'm like, "So your favorite was taking your buddy down?"
Just because, like, when
Dragon writes in school,
after I pinned him, I just looked up and I saw all my family and friends cheering for me, and it was a really good moment.
Your family, that there's nothing like having your family and friends behind you. Mm-hmm. Supporting you, and let's do a shout out.
Shout out to my mom and my
What's
dad.
Mom's name?
Lisa.
Lisa and Pop's name?
Brian.
Lisa and Brian. You did a great job. I can tell this young man is going to be going places.
Yeah, my friend McKelly and basically all of the wrestling team and Coach Smalley, because Coach Smalley was a big part of it as well.
I will say this, and I said this about the Jesuit kids. Now, don't take offense to this. This is a compliment. If I did put polos and khakis on you guys, you look like you could be golfers. You're pretty boys. You don't look like you go and kick somebody's butt on
like
a wrestling mat.
I really like golf.
Well, if a guy beats you, don't take him down on the 18th hole. How about that? I know guys that have done that. They got a little upset and took their opponent out on the tee box. Yeah. Don't do that. But you know, you have bright futures.
Yeah.
What do you plan on doing next year?
Cybersecurity at USF.
Okay, cybersecurity. There's no future in that. Bright decision. Yeah. Cybersecurity, young man. Well, I appreciate you two coming down. I'm going to ask some more questions to Coach. And you got plans for the summer?
I'm actually starting college in the summer.
Wow, these kids are workers, and you got a year to work, not to worry about that, or not worry about plan. Yeah, there's no worrying. Your future's bright. You got your pops over here. He'll make sure it is. Well, if this is an indication of the rest of your team, you certainly have done a superb job. Not just it's the student athlete thing that I focus on, the positive perspective of participation, and these kids are learning that from you, Coach.
Yeah, so one of the things that you mentioned on with us being a fundamental school is we have high expectations for the
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.